Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
BB.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Mike.
Hi.
So listen, I don't know if Bill Lazor does anything for you. And I don't even know what the role is when he comes to Chicago, but is it an improvement over Mark Helfrich? Do we know that, Mike?
I thought the offense was run by Matt Nagy,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, Helfrich was there to add a dash of creativity and brainstorming, and ultimately Matt Nagy decides what the plays are going to be and what the game plan is going to consist of and how the offense is going to run. So he just has a different guy coming up with the menu now, helping him come up with the menu. I mean, I don't know that the offensive coordinator in Chicago really has any true power, discretion, or authority because Nagy runs the show.
Mike, I don't know if people around the league are more likely to offer Kevin Stefanski congratulations or condolences for getting the Browns head coaching job, but he ended up being the guy that they picked and hired. How much of that was Stefanski and how much of that was Josh McDaniels not being the right fit?
You know, it's funny you put it that way, because what I said after Stefanski had one of his worst performances ever as an offensive coordinator, that I wasn't sure whether it was a reward or a punishment to be given the Browns job. But it's odd that it came down to Stefanski and 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. Mary Kay Cabot at the Cleveland Plain Dealer has reported they were the finalists. So let's hire the guy who loses in the chess match between the two guys that we really want to hire. That's just got a weird vibe to it, but is distinctly a Cleveland Brown vibe. I think what it came down to was Kevin Stefanski was willing to nod and smile in response to all of the various demands that are going to be made upon him, such as submitting his game plan in advance of Friday or by Friday at the latest for the analytics department to pore over it and see if they agree with everything, having a headset on an analytics person, meeting with ownership for hour after hour, the day after games, things that Josh McDaniels may have looked at and said, wait a minute, where I come from, the head coach doesn't do any of this crap. You either want me to coach the team or you don't. Let me know what you want. And what they wanted was somebody who was going to submit to what ownership wants. And ultimately, and look, this is the one thing I like about this hire. The rest is to be determined. I like the fact that there won't be factions. There won't be the football guys, you know, the jocks versus the nerds, the football guys versus the analytics guys anymore. They've had 4 years of that in Cleveland. It hasn't worked. So the nerds have won. Paul DePodesta's in charge, and he's hiring the guy that he wanted last year when he lost in a face-off with former GM John Dorsey over who the next coach would be. So now DePodesta, look, hey, same thing, congratulations and condolences, because if the team stinks now, it's on you. You can't blame anybody else. You can't say, well, I told you so, or if you just listen to me, we wouldn't stink like this. Now, this is DePodesta's guy, and he's going to do it DePodesta's way. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, it's time for DePodesta. I don't know. I guess he could move on to basketball or hockey. He's already done baseball and football.
Yeah, that's a bizarre situation there. I don't know what to make of it. I thought it was interesting, Mary Kay Cabot reporting this morning that Brad Childress has told Matt Nagy that he will not be coming back to the Bears, and that he doesn't know if it'll happen, but he would be available to go to Cleveland. He is apparently interested in getting with Stefanski if he's wanted, and that remains up in the air whether he is or not. But he's definitely
Yeah. Congratulations, not condolences, that Childress won't be back.
No kidding.
Well, it's a funny one, but I don't even know what the hell they're doing there. The idea that you got to have the analytics guys that closely involved, I mean, it just seems pointless to submit a game plan and they're going to pick over it and tell you what to do. It just seems like the right hand doesn't know who the left hand is or what they actually know.
Well, it's the right hand has to submit to the left hand. That's what it is. The coach has to say, whatever you want to do, we're going to do it your way. And I believe there is definitely a place in football for analytics, and there are plenty of different formulas. And you're only limited by your creativity of the formulas you can come up with and the factors you can explore and the things that you can do by way of past performance to enhance your decision-making going forward. But let me give you an example of where analytics, I think, needs to take a backseat to reality. 4th and 11. From the Seahawks 36-yard line, down 5 points on Sunday, and Russell Wilson having a Russell Wilson game, right? And he is on it, and the season is riding on it. So, do you choose to let Russell Wilson try to gain 11 yards, or do you think you're going to stop Aaron Rodgers, who is having an Aaron Rodgers vintage performance and is on it and appreciates the magnitude of the moment and knows there's only so many more go-rounds he's going to have to get back to a Super Bowl and win another one? Who do you trust in that moment? Do you trust your defense to stop one of the all-time greats, or you trust one of the all-time greats who happens to be your quarterback? That's where you got to forget about percentages and say, I don't want their guy on the field, and I want to keep our guy on the field.
Great example. Great example from just this past weekend. Mike, we're all prisoners of the moment, so we watched last night's national championship game. We see Joe Burrow look as polished and in command and dominant as he was. We see Trevor Lawrence struggle a little bit. So you come out of that, and we talked about this morning, Joe Burrow projects as maybe a better NFL quarterback than Trevor Lawrence today. Is that the consensus among NFL people that you talk to? What do you think?
You know, I know that the performance in a big spot, in a big moment at the college level, in front of fans who in some cases are even more numerous than they are at an NFL game, that does give a guy a feather in the cap, and it shows that he can perform under pressure. And you look at Joe Burrow, I mean, he can do everything. And even though he's kind of an out-of-nowhere story this year, he does it all. And I'd be shocked if he's not the first overall pick. Now, I keep trying to think of ways the Bengals will screw this up because, look, they need him from a football standpoint, and they need him from a business standpoint because nobody cares about the Bengals. Nobody goes to the games. And it's just, you know, they are irrelevant in the NFL. You get the next big thing in the NFL, and every year there's a next big thing, from Deshaun Watson to Patrick Mahomes to Kyler Murray to this year Joe Burrow to next year Trevor Lawrence. You get a guy like that, you sell jerseys, you sell tickets, you generate interest, and if the guy turns out to be a good player, you've got a quarterback for the next 15 years. So I think he will be the first overall pick, and you know, we'll see how he does. But I like the fact that he's got a toughness to him. He's got that intangible. He's got that swagger. He's got the attitude. And you know, it looks like he banged up his ribs late in the first half of the game last night, and he was out there riding the bike, staying loose, and instead of in the locker room, he was ready to go, and he wasn't going to let whatever it was that got him a little bit banged up keep him from seizing that moment and putting the perfect cherry on top of an incredible season with the Heisman by the biggest margin ever, 15-0 national championship, and the next step surely will be first overall pick in the draft, unless and until the Bengals find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, you know, I keep wondering how good the Bengals could be with him. I mean, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, you throw in Eifert, and you got Mixon.
Joe Mixon, a running back. Yeah, he had his best year of his career. I don't know if A.J. Green's going to be there next year. Okay. But, you know, here's the thing. You get a franchise quarterback in a rookie wage scale contract, you do have more flexibility to pay guys like A.J. Green or attract some free agents who may come in and want to play with a Joe Burrow.
Is Zach Taylor a decent coach? You know, he's so young and we don't have any idea. Yeah. He was out with the Rams, which means he was sneezed on by the great man and so immediately gets hired, and he's still a young guy.
He was at the other extreme of Matt LaFleur, right? Yep. Who thought Matt LaFleur would be able to step into kind of a dysfunctional situation in Green Bay and get along the right way with the starting quarterback and command the room. That was my concern last year when I talked to Matt LaFleur and met Matt LaFleur. It's like, do I see this guy really taking over a room of 53 professional football players? But he has, and they're 14-3. So, you know, and you know what? If you flip Zach Taylor and Matt LaFleur, maybe there's a chance the Packers are still 14-3 with Taylor. There's something to be said for having that great quarterback. And, you know, all the other stuff is important, but having a quarterback who is capable of greatness and at a minimum is going to be even keeled and productive and not have games where he throws four interceptions and just, you know, kills the flow and the momentum. That there's a lot to be said for having that kind of a talent under center.
And Mike, the guy who replaced LaFleur in Tennessee as the offensive coordinator for the Titans is Arthur Smith, and he's a 37-year-old assistant coach in his first year, who's not getting any attention when you're talking about these potential head coaching openings. And that seems to be contrary to the movement around the league. You hire somebody in their 30s, you talk to somebody who's got an offensive kind of game plan that is working, and there's no bigger surprise in the playoffs than the Titans. Why is he not getting any attention?
Well, it shows you the flaw of a system that lets the media come up with the list of candidates during the season. It's just how it happens, right? We start talking about the candidates. Well, the Titans offense wasn't very good, so why is Arthur Smith going to be mentioned as a candidate? And then all of a sudden the offense takes off and Derrick Henry's unstoppable and they're putting a jump pass for a touchdown against the Ravens. And, you know, Arthur Smith would have been a perfect candidate for the Browns job for reasons that we see pop up all the time in the NFL, where it's nepotism and who you're friends with, because Fred Smith is the father of Arthur Smith. He's the CEO of FedEx. He was on the board of Pilot Flying J when Jimmy Haslam owned the company. I mean, there are strong Tennessee connections between Smith and Haslam. He would have been an ideal candidate for the Browns job. And he'll be the first name on the list along with Robert Saleh next year. But, you know, because it's a game of musical chairs that plays out very quickly and the seats get filled, and candidates who become very viable in the postseason get overlooked, that's the biggest reason why Arthur Smith didn't get invited to any of these interviews, because nobody realized Arthur Smith had the chops until it was too late. And Peter King has argued that they should have a moratorium on any head coaching interviews or hires until after the Super Bowl. I don't think it's very practical, but if that was the reality, Arthur Smith would be high on everyone's list who's looking for a head coach based upon what the Titans have done in this offseason, postseason, excuse me.
And does that run come to an end, Mike? Do you see a scenario in which they could beat the Chiefs? The Chiefs have lost some big games at Arrowhead, but my God, you think about the way they came back from that deficit in the last game here, and it's just hard to believe they're not going to score their 50 points.
Here's the question we have to ask ourselves as we map out what the Chiefs and the Titans may do. How many times do we need to see Derrick Henry being truly unstoppable, even when everyone in the building knows he's getting the ball, before we conclude the Chiefs aren't going to be able to stop him? I mean, you could almost shout out the play at the line of scrimmage. Hey, Derrick Henry in the A-gap. Are you ready? See you later. I mean, when he's that big, when he's that fast, when the blocking is that good, you know, we usually see that in college where the talent gap between offense and defense from two different programs is so great, you could just tell him, here's our play, but you can't stop it, even if you want to, because physically, there's nothing you can do. With Derrick Henry, physically, what can you do? You know he's going to run, he runs it, and he's still averaging nearly 6 yards a carry. I mean, he really, I hate to engage in excessive hyperbole, just normal hyperbole, he's like a modern-day Jim Brown, isn't he?
Wow.
What he's done the last three games, he's the first guy in league history to rush for 180 or more yards in three consecutive games.
That's right.
Jim Brown never did it. All those years where it was hard to pass, so you run, nobody ever did what Derrick Henry has done. Because, and look at Bill Belichick. Peter King made this point today on PFT Live. Bill Belichick can always come up with a game plan that right. takes away what the opposing offense does best. He identifies it and he takes it away. He couldn't take away Derrick Henry. I don't think anybody can take away Derrick Henry. And that, to me, makes this game on Sunday, between the Chiefs and the Titans a very tough one to pick, because everybody's going to think Chiefs, but how are the Chiefs going to stop Derrick Henry?
That's Mike, great stuff.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.